Well, it's Memorial Day, and I'm going to a text that will kind of deal with that. If you'll go to the book of Joshua, been in Joshua just a little bit lately, and I want you to go with me to Joshua chapter 4. We're going to take the first 9 verses. Hope you'll open your Bible and look at them with us. Joshua chapter 4. We'll put it in context here just a little bit. Moses is dead. God has chosen Joshua to lead the children of Israel. They've come out of Egypt now. They've been in the wilderness, and God's about to lead them into the promised land. And one of the first jobs they've got to do is take the city of Jericho. And they're on the way to do that. They've got a river to cross. And we pick it up in the last verse, last 2 verses of chapter 3 of the book of Joshua. It says, "And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brink of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam," that is besides Zaratan, "and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take ye 12 men of the people out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared, the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. And this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day." Now, in the context, God is doing something special. He's done something special to bring them out of Egypt. He's done something special to supply their needs out in the wilderness as they traveled. And now, as they get near the first big battle, he parts the rivers of Jordan. And so it'll not be forgotten, he asked Joshua to pick 12 men that'll pick 12 stones, and they're pretty good size. They carry them on the shoulder. And they set up, as it were, a memorial. And God tells them very plainly, it's not for you, you've already seen it happen, but it's for the kids that's coming on behind, that will not be forgotten. And there's some words in the Bible that are important. One of them is, if you'll read quite often in the Bible, God is warning people not to forget. He even warns nations not to forget. He says, the wicked shall be cast into hell, and all nations that forget God. There's a danger in forgetting, folks. And so memorials have to do with memory, remembering, and not forgetting the events. And God didn't want the children of Israel to forget his mighty hand. When those priests went up to the Jordan River and it overflowed its banks that time of year, had a fellow say one time, well, you couldn't get baptized, you couldn't get immersed in Jordan because the water was only 6 inches deep. Well, you could put his brain in a mosquito, he'd fly backwards. I've been over there, brother, and I've seen folks baptized in the Jordan. And on a particular time of the year that's mentioned here in Joshua, it overflows its banks. It was deep. And yet, as they crossed over, the waters piled up on either side, and God was doing something he didn't want them to forget. Now, he continued to do things for them, but he was concerned for the next generation. My concern today and yours ought to be for the next generation, the ones that's coming on behind. You know what? Most of us, not all of us, of course, but many of us in this auditorium, we're old enough to make it to the end, because the end's not that far away, I hate to tell you. Maybe it'd be good. Amen. If you're saved, it's good. But the truth of the matter is, there's somebody following us. What will they remember? What will they forget? And that is wherein lies the danger. Our heritage in our country is being lost, perverted. Some just never know a thing about it. And we think of Memorial Day, and we're thinking about our military, and we're thinking about the soldiers that gave their life to preserve our freedom and give us the country and the nation that we have today. And it's good that we have a Memorial Day, but I wonder if you went out on the street and asked how many why it's a holiday, how many right answers you'd get. I'm afraid it's about, we're off from work, or we're out of school, or we're going to have a cookout. That's mainly what's on their mind. Who's thinking about how many soldiers bled and died? That's what it's supposed to be about, though, isn't it? That we'd not forget. I've been up to Washington, D.C. a number of years ago, and for 1 week I was up there, and I rode the train car, subway, whatever you wanted to call it, rode it in from our motel where we were staying into the Capitol area where we were having a meeting. We were trying to basically keep the liberty and the freedom of our Christian schools to operate in America. And we had hearings for a week. And I made the same trip every day, every morning, pretty early. And one of the stops was the Arlington Cemetery. And out of the windows of the cars we were riding in, you could see just those acres and acres of those white crosses out there at Arlington Cemetery. And it spoke to my heart every time as I went by there and remembered what they were representing. That's where the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier is and so forth there. And yet we got the liberals today wanting to take the cross down from everywhere. They've been trying to get it out of the Mojave Desert out there, and they finally covered it up with plow wood. And so the court ruled that that they could keep the cross in memory of the soldiers, by the way. And they ruled they could keep it. So the last I heard, somebody went out and stole it. I tell you what, folks, that's something, isn't it? But one day they'll be trying to get those white crosses out of the Arlington Cemetery. Is what they'll be trying to do. But you know, I look here and I think on the theme here a little bit. Speaking of that, we got a bunch of liberal judges that are really anti-America. And they're anti-military. I think we're about to put another one in high office. But anyhow, a memorial is something that's set in stone. It's something that reminds us of what our foundations really are and how important they are, and how the future must be built on those foundations. Now, the Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And it's a self-answering question. If you don't have a foundation, you can't build on it. And that's where my concerns are today as I think about Memorial Day in America. And I want to say we need to keep some memorials up. We need to continue to know what they represent and not forget. You know, it's too bad, but I remember when I first heard the statement generation gap. You remember when you first heard that? It was back in the 60s when they were out in the streets and rioting and burning the American flag and tearing down college buildings and so forth. All that junk was going on, and they started talking in the media generation gap. Now, that time I was pastoring in a little country church up in North Florida, and I remember a man in a testimony meeting standing up and saying, I thank God for this, that, and the other. And then one of the things he said, I thank God there's no generation gap here. Now, he's talking about his kids. He's talking about our little church. He was talking about our little community. Well, I'll say to you, times have changed. I've been here almost 40 years. January will make 40 years. And I never would have believed the gap I've seen develop in losing our heritage, losing our history, losing what old America used to stand for, as I've seen it come in these 40 years. I want to say we still need some memorials. We need a memorial to revive patriotism in this country. I mean, the old days, it was popular to be patriotic, to get a lump in your throat when you saw the flag. It's not that anymore. It's not politically correct. Did you see where the kids in the school, some of the foreigners in the school, were able to wear their flags? But when some of the American kids put on their flag, they got expelled. That's happened just recently. Just recently. I'm talking about we need a good old revival of patriotism. Of America first. We moved this globalism thing till I'm so sick I don't know what to do with it. They're telling us we don't have any right to close our borders. Try to sneak into Red China. You say, well, our borders are too long. How about Red China's? Huh? No, the problem is they're trying to put globalism together and put America not only second but out of sight. I mean, we got treachery going on in high places is what it amounts to in America. We could take care of our borders. Sure we could. I saw this fella, and some of you don't like this. The door will let you out. But I saw this thing on, I don't know, it might have even been a rerun, but this, I'm trying to get his name right. William Shatner, he used to be on one of the starship programs or something. He was the captain of the boat or something. I don't watch that junk, so you have to help me along in some of those areas. Star Trek, was that it? He was the captain. Saw him talking with a guy, and the guy said something about some concern for our country. He said, oh, I know what you're concerned about. You're concerned about American-grown terrorism, this group rising up to fight the jihadist. I said, hey, wait a minute, man. You got the cart ahead of the horse. You're worried about some rednecks going to fight the terrorist? You understand what he was saying? Do you? I don't care whether you like him or not. You understand that philosophy? Brother, that's backwards. Somebody needs to rise up against the terrorists. Somebody needs to rise up against this head chopping off bunch. We need to wake up in this country, but that's the philosophy our kids are coming up with. Discrimination. I want to tell you, God's a discriminator. God says that homosexuality is an abomination. And the book still says it. It's still right. It's still God's word. And we need a revival of patriotism. And our patriotism was based on God. It was based on his book. It was based on what is truth and what is right and what is wrong. And a sad case today is we've forgotten patriotism was rooted in God. Our first coins had the image of Moses on them in America. This book I'm holding, this King James Bible, was the first textbook in the public school. Now it's outlawed. You don't think there's a change been coming, brother? You get in more trouble with bringing a Bible to school today than you could with a Tommy gun. Amen. I'm going to enjoy myself whether you do or not this morning. In the old days, George Washington, when they Valley Forge, you read about some of our history. I mean, in the bad times, he said, put Americans on guard tonight. See, we had some foreign mercenaries that came in and helped us in the Revolutionary War, but George Washington said, I want some real Americans on guard tonight. And I want to say we need some real Americans on guard tonight. We need some real Americans on guard in Washington and other places. That's what we need. We need our patriotism that was rooted in God brought back again. The national anthem, read the last verse of it. It says, our cause is just. You understand that? You say, that's a little bias. You bet it is. It's bias for America. It's bias for righteousness. It's bias for the truth. And that's where you ought to be biased. Oh, nobody's supposed to be biased. You'll be called a bigot. I got some other words I can't use. The truth of the matter is that we need to come back for old-fashioned America. Do you know, we've had in the news the pirates over there, around Somalia and all the places out in the ocean, going and just picking off ships and getting ransom for them. You know our Marines were started to wipe out those guys? And you go back to Thomas Jefferson when he got the Marines started. Man, the fight song of the Marines still today comes from going over there and cleaning up those pirates. That same area, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, wasn't that it, Jim? Fight song. Marines, still that's it today. Hey, by the way, we need to turn them loose again today and clean out some places like that. Exactly what could happen, amen? Oh, yeah, we need a revival of patriotism bad today. And then a memorial will help us have that. And if we keep in memory, keep the memorial before us, it'll also help us to recall the gratitude that's been lost that we ought to have. In the text here, God was telling Joshua, I want these kids not forget. I want them, when they see those stones, to know what happened, that the hand of God came down and the hand of God parted the waters and the hand of God brought the walls of Jericho down. That's what God was saying he wanted the kids to remember. What do they remember today? Mm-mm. It is amazing. You know, it's not natural for you and I or anybody else to be thankful, but we ought to work at it. Are you thankful you live in America? A free country. Oh, I understand. I understand how much has been lost. I understand how much is out there that's wrong. But at the same time, there's some other places you go and you'll be glad to get home to America. But it's not natural to be thankful. You folks with the little kids, do you have to teach them to be unthankful? No, you have to teach them to be thankful. Right? It's hard sometimes. Why? We're all born with a covetous nature. That's why. Simple as that. A little girl was with her mother shopping in the store, and one of the clerks gave her some little gift, and the little girl just stood there smiling, and the mother said, now what do you say to her? Trying to get her to say thank you. Little girl said, charge it. That's the new culture. That's us. But we need to work at this thing of being thankful. And I have to work at it. How many of you husbands thankful for your wife and vice versa? I won't get off into that area right now. That's a landmine area out there. But with all that said and done, there's a lot of things we take for granted we just ought to be very thankful for. And when you miss them, brother, man, I had a thought go through my mind. I first little country church I pastored had a little post office. I mean, it wasn't hardly 20 foot square in town. And I'd gotten the mail out for our church. I think we had about 60 members. And I'd gotten letters and addresses best I could to send out to them. And I took them to the post office, read the mail. And of course, the postmaster, he knew everybody in the county. There was only 8,000 people in the county and 400 in the town. He knew everybody. He was the only man in there. And I was standing there at the counter and I was working with the letters with him. He's a good guy. And he was looking at him. He said, this address is, that's the wrong name. You know what I did? I did what a husband normally does. I blame my wife. I said, she ought to know better than that. You know what he said? He looked at me and he said, preacher, be thankful you've got a wife. Mine died last week. I didn't have to open the door to get out. I crawled right under it. I mean, man, that got me. We all like that. We don't find somebody else to blame. We're not thankful for this, not thankful for that. And that's an attitude even our kids have picked up on, how bad it is. Old Bob Jones Sr. Was given credit for a statement that he made years ago. I don't know if I can quote it right or not. But he said, the loveliest flower that blooms in the garden of the heart is the flower of gratitude. And he says, when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, he's well nigh gone. Old Bob Jones Sr. was right, brother. You know what? I've seen folks didn't have much, but they were thankful. I've seen folks had everything and were not thankful. You've seen that. We've all seen that. And when it comes to this thing of God, and it comes to this thing of having a memorial to our country and to God, to the founder, to our forefathers, to those that paid such a price as we celebrate Memorial Day, we ought to have a heart full of gratitude toward those that went on before us. And not forget, Be thankful for the protection in the past. Do you understand America's wars? I know the liberals cry about us being wrong here. We've been wrong some, but we've been mostly right. And let me also say this. They want to make us the big Satan. They want to make us the bad guy. If we're the bad guy, we've fed more hungry people in this world than any other nation. We've done more good than any nation you can mention, and we've done it because it was in the name of God and based on a foundation from God and the moral principles that we had instilled it. And listen, it still prevails today. But we've raised a selfish generation because they've had no more morals to go by. And some of us adults are as guilty as sin if we don't teach our kids the foundation that they're supposed to be building on. Yes, we are. You know, we got a new enemy today, I think a greater enemy than we've ever faced. I mean, greater than the 76 Revolution, or greater than the 1812 War, greater than World War I and II. We have more treacherous enemy out there today. I mean, we got enemies on the inside we used to not have. Selling us out. We got more hate involved and we've ever had before. We got a crowd out there that would say disarm America no matter what the rest of them do. I want to tell you, I hope we're not that foolish. Churchill, Winston Churchill of England, of fame of World War II, old cigar-smoking Winston, said this. He said, there's a lot of things worse than war, and they all begin with losing. He's telling us how much worse it would be if we surrendered to that crowd. And he was right. He was right. We need to recall and have a memorial that reminds us to have gratitude. Gratitude first to God, and then gratitude to those that went before us, that paid the price for us. And folks, you and I are coasting on what many others gave their lives for. Listen, I was a kid in World War II, but I remember the telegrams coming to Kenton folks' door, a son that wasn't coming home. I still remember hearing mothers scream. Things like that you shouldn't take for granted. You take a boy born in a home and raised up, and he's the apple of the eye, and all of a sudden he just reaches young manhood and he's called off, and in 2 years or later a telegram comes to the door, he's gone. Hey, that's somebody paid a price. I mean, paid a real price we don't want to forget. I think it was, lost his name, but Tom Bukoff that wrote the book, The Greatest Generation. Now, I think he's probably, I know he's to the liberals, left of me, but I want to say that when he did a little research on the World War II generation, he wrote and put a title on that book, The Greatest Generation. And what he saw in there was the sacrifice and the price they paid that gave us the foundation that we're still building on today, or should be. Coasting on would be a better word. But we need to remember that. That's what Memorial Day is. Before you stick your hot dog in your bun and pop your Coke can, just say, thank you, Lord, I'm free today. Got all the food I want. Got all the freedom. Just say, Lord, that's what the day's about, isn't it? Or it should be. Amen. I'll tell you something. We need memorials to revive our patriotism and recall our gratitude. And then we need to remember that peace has a price. It really has a price. Folks, the flesh is depraved. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man left to himself is undone. And the truth is, to have even peace in this world costs a price. Somebody paid for it. Man is of the nature to conquer man and rule over him. And America's an experiment on this old planet Earth that has no other nation ever exceeded to the place and the pinnacle that we did under the blessings of God. World War II, do you remember the songs? Well, God Bless America. How about that one? How about the songs like Coming In on a Wing and a Prayer? Anybody ever remember that? Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. That says it all. Amen. Fight like it depends on you trust and praise like it depends on him. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition and we'll all go free, the song said. You know, people planted victory gardens. They had to have stamps to buy gasoline. They had to have rationing books, so much sugar you could get. Why? Sacrificing for the war in World War II. I remember sitting in a little chapel service in a Georgia schoolhouse that only went to the fifth grade and assembling in, and the teachers leading us in those songs. And I remember a little boy stood up and did a poem, and I can't quote the poem. But the bottom line of it was this, 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 and this. And we're looking forward to the day that a rationing book is only a souvenir. I didn't know what the word souvenir meant. So when I got home, I asked Mama. And she said, well, look into the time we'll look back and remember what that rationing book was, but we'll no longer have to use it. That was World War II. That was when I was, I don't know, third or fourth grade. But I mean, we need to remember that our peace here cost a price. But I want to say that there's also a spiritual peace that cost a price. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you and I when he died on the cross of Calvary. He bought the spiritual peace. You can't have it no other way. Amen. Oh, the sad truth is today everybody wants to go around Jesus. He's almost a dirty word in society today. But I got news for you. You'll never have peace eternal until you have him. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the one that wants to be your Savior. He's the one that'll live in your heart. He's the one paid for your sins on the cross. And there's no other way to get to heaven outside of him. He's the Savior. You know, I think about the price paid by our soldier boys. I believe when they landed on Iwo Jima and the enemy was dug in like they were, and when the Marines took that island, for the first 5 days, they averaged losing 1,000 Marines a day. 1,000 Marines a day. They were paying quite a price. That was the kill ones, not the maimed, not the injured and the wounded, the ones that lost legs and arms, but 1,000 a day for the first 5 days. Hey, a price was paid. Price was paid. The greatest price of all, of course, was when the Lord Jesus came and died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. You know, since I heard his story and received him as my Savior, I've had that peace. Bible says we are bought with a price that we're no longer on. That price he paid on the cross of Calvary. God incarnate in the flesh, allowing his creatures, allowing the creature to put the Creator to death, taking our place that we might go free. My soul, it's hard to put into words. John 1:11 says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Can you imagine it? The pain of being hurt by your enemy is one thing. The pain of being hurt by your friend is something else. And when you think of the love the Lord Jesus Christ had, it was love for his enemies. That's what the Bible says, Romans 5. We were his enemies, yet he loved us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. My, think about that. What a price. We're bought with a price. Have you ever come and received Christ as Savior? Have you ever let him be your Savior? Are you still trying to be good enough, which you can't? Join enough churches, which you can't? Get baptized enough, which you can't? You've got to have him personally. Trust him personally in the price he paid for you on the cross of Calvary. What a price. Don't reject him. Let him be your Savior. I think of Memorial Day, and I'm saying some things concerning our soldiers and stuff. I read a sad story. I don't know. It's probably been added to and taken from, but the gist of it was this. A boy was raised up in what you and I might call a high society home. Parents that was high on the social ladder. He knew that. Everything had to be just proper and so forth. But he joined the army and he got in the battle and was over in the battle. And He got sent back home. He come into California, one of the ports. And he called his house. And he got his mother on the phone and told her, said, I'm here. Won't be long before I can be home. Oh, she said, that's good. We're just excited that you're coming home. He said, but mother, I've got a request. He said, I got a buddy with me. He said, he's had his leg shot off. He's lost an eye. He's got a crippled arm. And mother, he really needs somebody else to watch after him. He needs a place to go. He don't have a place to go. And said, Mama said, could I bring him home with me? And she said, well, no, son, we don't want a handicap around. We couldn't handle that. That wouldn't be good. What would everybody think? You need to send him somewhere else. And the boy said, okay. And then days went by, and weeks went by, and the boy never got home. The parents began to inquire, and they got a hold of headquarters, and they found out the boy he was talking about with a missing leg and a missing eye was himself. And he was testing Mama, see if Mama wanted a boy to come home that couldn't really take care of himself so good. I can imagine that boy's pain, can't you? How about Jesus came unto his own? His own nailed him to a cross. They mocked him. They despised him. They spit on him. They cursed him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. This morning, you'd say, I wouldn't be that way. I'd take that boy. He'd be my son just the same. Yeah. Well, how about Jesus? How about him? He died for you. Are you willing to receive him this morning? If you're not saved, if you haven't, you ought to do it for your own self, but you ought to do it out of gratitude to what he did for you, paying for your sins. Let's bow our heads, please.